On March 1st, 1858, the luxury steamboat Eliza Battle burst into flames on the Tombigbee River. As passengers leapt into the freezing waters to escape, between 26 and 33 souls perished in what would become Alabama's greatest maritime disaster. Little did onlookers know that the tragedy would soon take on a life of its own. Since that fateful night, hundreds of witnesses have reported seeing a phantom steamboat. River pilots glimpse it on foggy nights, a burning vessel visible just long enough to read Eliza Battle before vanishing without a wake. In Alabama, seeing this phantom steamboat is considered an omen of impending catastrophe. In 1852, a remarkable chapter in maritime history began on the banks of the Ohio River. The Eliza Battle emerged from the shipyards of New Albany, Indiana, a testament to the golden age of river transportation. Sidewheel paddle steamers represented the height of engineering during this era, and the Eliza Battle was designed to navigate the challenging conditions of the shallow Tombigbee River with unprecedented efficiency. At an impressive 227 feet in length, she commanded attention on the waterways, her wooden hull gleaming with fresh paint and promise. The vessel's construction spoke volumes about the priorities and contradictions of antebellum society. Wooden vessels were the standard of the day, cost-effective and relatively simple to build from abundant materials. Yet this practical choice harbored an invisible threat. The wooden structure was inherently vulnerable to fire, like a magnificent fortress built upon foundations of kindling. This danger lurked constantly, silently waiting for the inevitable spark from the boilers, a carelessly discarded cigar, or a lantern tipped in rough waters. Standing on the deck of the newly commissioned Eliza Battle, passengers would have marveled at the craftsmanship that transformed raw timber into a floating masterpiece. The paddle wheels themselves were engineering marvels, churning the river waters with rhythmic precision, propelling the vessel through the currents and around bends that would have stymied lesser boats. These wheels represented the beating heart of a vessel that would soon become legendary on southern waterways. The Eliza Battle was designed to dazzle. In an age before transcontinental railroads dominated long-distance travel, riverboats served as showcases of luxury and refinement. Contemporary observer Charles Mackey captured this essence perfectly when he described the Eliza Battle as an elegant steamer, a floating palace. How ironic that those who gazed upon its splendor remained blind to the catastrophic potential lurking within its elegant frame. The vessel boasted accommodations that rivaled the finest hotels of the era, with plush cabins adorned with polished woodwork and brass fixtures that caught the lamplight. The very elements that created such opulence also cultivated the conditions for disaster. Wealthy plantation owners and their families constituted the primary clientele for these luxury accommodations. These were the cotton aristocracy of the South, men and women who had built fortunes on the white bulls that blanketed the region's fields and the enslaved labor that harvested them. They expected and received the finest amenities. Formal dining rooms where multi-course meals were served on fine china, comfortable smoking lounges for gentlemen, and observation decks where ladies could socialize while taking in the passing scenery. Behind this luxury, however, the Eliza Battle served a deeply practical and economically vital purpose. She was a crucial link in the commercial chain that connected the agricultural heartland of Alabama and Mississippi to the global marketplace. Cotton was king in the antebellum South, and steamboats like the Eliza Battle were the royal carriages, transporting the region's most valuable commodity from interior plantations to exterior hubs like Mobile. The Tombigbee River formed a natural highway through rich cotton country, its route dotted with nearly 300 landings. Each stop represented a plantation or community that relied on the river for economic survival. The Eliza Battle would pause at these landings, where stevedores loaded hundreds of cotton bales onto her decks, each bale representing significant wealth but also carrying flammable potential that would later prove catastrophic. The river's distinctive bluffs created natural loading docks where cotton could easily be transferred from wagons to waiting steamboats. These geological features became the foundation of Alabama's economic infrastructure, enabling the efficient flow of goods that fueled the state's prosperity. As the Eliza Battle plied the waters between Columbus, Mississippi, and Mobile, Alabama, she became a mobile community and an economic lifeline. Farmers, merchants, and families depended on her regular passage. Mail, news, and goods from distant markets arrived with her, connecting isolated communities to the wider world. Each arrival and departure was an event, with locals gathering to witness the spectacle of the massive paddle wheels churning the waters. Yet for all her grandeur, the Eliza Battle contained within her wooden bones the seeds of tragedy. The combination of wooden construction, open flame lighting, and up to 1,200 bales of flammable cotton cargo created a perfect storm of danger. Once ablaze, cotton burns with surprising intensity, and on a wooden vessel, such fires could spread with terrifying speed. This volatile cargo shared space with passengers sleeping in wooden cabins lit by oil lamps, a scenario that modern safety standards would find unthinkable. The Tom Bigby River, while commercially vital, could be unpredictable and unforgiving. Its currents could strengthen suddenly with upstream rains, and winter brought the dual threats of floating debris and frigid temperatures. If disaster struck, these waters offered little mercy to those forced to abandon ship. How quickly can paradise become purgatory? As the Eliza Battle pulled away from Columbus that fateful March evening in 1858, nobody suspected that within hours, the same cotton bales fueling Alabama's prosperity could become funeral pyres for dozens of souls caught between fire and freezing waters. Captain Samuel G. Stone guided the vessel into the current as dust settled over the Tom Bigby. The departure seemed routine. Approximately 100 passengers and crew settled into the rhythm of river travel as the paddle wheels churned steadily through the darkening waters. Among those aboard were Mary Taylor and Philip Saunders, newlyweds embarking on what should have been a joyful journey to Mobile for festivities. Their happiness provided a bright counterpoint to the gathering gloom outside. The weather turned treacherous with startling speed. Darkness brought a fierce north wind that swept across the water, plunging temperatures to 40 degrees within just 2 hours. Passengers dressed for milder conditions found themselves suddenly trapped in a floating icebox. Recent rains had swollen the Tom Bigby, creating swift currents that challenged even Captain Stone's considerable experience. Disaster struck in the dead of night. At approximately 2 a.m. on March 1st, a small flame appeared among the cotton bales stacked on the main deck. Whether from a wayward ember or an overturned lantern, that tiny spark transformed into catastrophe with terrifying speed. The bone-dry cotton ignited with explosive force. The wooden superstructure allowed flames to race from stern to bow within minutes. The north wind that brought freezing temperatures now fanned the fire throughout the vessel. The night sky glowed orange as the Eliza Battle became a floating inferno visible for miles. Captain Stone attempted to ground the vessel along the riverbank to allow escape, but the swollen river and powerful currents thwarted his efforts. The high water had submerged the normal shoreline, and the currents pushed the burning vessel relentlessly towards the middle of the channel. Passengers now faced an impossible choice: remain on board the burning vessel or leap into the waters cold enough to kill within minutes. The inferno above and the icy tomb below formed a cruel vice from which few could escape. Women in heavy Victorian dresses found themselves particularly vulnerable, their fashionable garments threatening to drag them beneath the surface. Children clung to floating debris, fragments of furniture, cotton bales not yet consumed by flames, anything to keep them above the freezing waters. From the shoreline, local residents watched in horror. Some launched small boats in rescue attempts, but the powerful current and debris-filled waters hampered their efforts. They heard cries for help gradually diminish as the cold claimed more victims. Some who survived the initial plunge died from hypothermia while clinging to debris, waiting for rescue that came too late. The story of Mary Taylor and Philip Saunders encapsulates the heartbreak. As flames engulfed the ship, the young couple embraced and jumped together into the icy river. When Mary was later pulled from the water, she had survived, but Philip was nowhere to be found. She withdrew from society after the disaster, unable to recover from her loss. When dawn broke over the Tom Bigby River, the charred remains of human ambition and folly became visible. Between 26 and 33 souls had perished, making it the deadliest maritime disaster in the river's history. Some bodies were never recovered, claimed by the current. the wreckage eventually settled into the muddy riverbed near Pennington, Alabama. As the river carried away the last embers, it also carried forward a legacy that would transform maritime safety forever. A congressional investigation sought to understand how such a catastrophe occurred and how future tragedies might be prevented. Their findings were damning. The lack of accessible lifeboats has significantly contributed to the death toll. Even if passengers had wanted to use them, the rapidly spreading flames made reaching the safety equipment impossible. The investigation led to recommendations for enhanced safety measures aboard steamboats, including requirements for more accessible lifeboats and improved fire prevention measures. The parallel to the Titanic disaster decades later is striking. In both cases, insufficient equipment turned a serious situation into a catastrophic one. The true legacy of the Eliza Battle disaster extended beyond safety regulations. The perfect storm of circumstances created a story that burned itself into the cultural memory of the region, a testament to nature's power and human vulnerability when fire and ice conspire on dark waters. The story of the Eliza Battle didn't end when its charred skeleton settled into the muddy riverbed. From New York to New Zealand, newspapers carried tales of that terrible night, but they couldn't possibly capture what would happen next when the physical wreckage transformed into something far more enduring. The word of the Eliza Battle disaster traveled with astonishing speed through the communication networks of the mid-19th century. Within days, accounts appeared in the New York Times and spread across the continent, reaching international shores. These vivid chronicles painted the horror in agonizing detail, introducing readers worldwide to the remote Tom Bigby River, a place they would now forever associate with tragedy. The Eliza Battle story resonated because of both the scale of the disaster and the individual narratives that emerged from the smoke and ice. Stories of sacrifice and heroism spread alongside accounts of panic and desperation, revealing human nature in its rawest form. "I still see their faces in my dreams," wrote Sarah Cunningham in a letter to her sister 3 months after surviving the disaster. "The river took them, but their voices remain. Sometimes I swear I can hear them calling when I walk along the bank at dusk." This sentiment echoed through countless survivor accounts, creating a tapestry of grief that would weave itself into the fabric of river communities. Beyond these personal tragedies, the Eliza Battle disaster pulled back the curtain on the dangerous realities of river travel in the antebellum South. The public questioned steamboat companies that packed vessels with flammable cargo and provided insufficient safety equipment. Letters to newspaper editors asked pointed questions about the balance between profit and human life, exposing how economic imperatives often trumped passenger safety in an era before robust regulation. Empty chairs at dinner tables throughout Alabama communities marked the physical absence of those lost. Some families faced the particular anguish of having no body to bury, no grave to visit, as the river kept its secrets. These unrecovered dead created a special kind of grief, one without closure, that echoed through generations of river families. The Tom Bigby itself became a silent witness, its waters absorbing the terror and sorrow of that night. Like a mourner who cannot forget, the river seemed to hold a memory of the disaster in its currents, refusing to release the past to history's pages. In the decades that followed, the disaster site became a landmark. Steamboat pilots navigating the Tom Bigby River would point to a certain bend near Pennington and lower their voices as they told passengers, "That's where the Eliza Battle went down." This oral tradition kept the memory alive, passing from one generation of river workers to the next. The location became a nautical grave marker, unmarked on maps, yet universally known to those who worked the waterway. Hidden beneath the surface, the physical remains likely still exist in some form. River archaeologists speculate that the oxygen-poor environment of the riverbed mud would have preserved portions of the wooden hull and artifacts, personal belongings, ship equipment, and items that might tell us more about the final moments. The river bottom became an unintentional time capsule, holding remnants that might someday reveal new details about the disaster. What makes the Eliza Battle particularly unusual among maritime disasters is what happened in the years following its sinking. Most shipwrecks gradually fade from memory, becoming historical footnotes. But something different happened along the Tom Bigby: the violent manner of death, the bodies never recovered, and the speed with which flames consumed dreams created perfect conditions for supernatural aftermath. Fishermen began reporting unusual phenomena near the disaster site. Unexplained lights hovering over the water on cold nights. Distant sounds of music where no boats were visible. Momentary glimpses of something large moving against the current. At first, these stories were shared quietly around fires or on porches. But with each telling, each new experience, the stories began to form patterns. What's striking about these early accounts is their consistency. Witnesses describe seeing the same phenomena in the same locations, often under similar weather conditions. Cold, foggy nights resembling the conditions of the original disaster. These were detailed descriptions from people familiar with the river, who knew the difference between natural phenomena and something truly unusual. As these experiences accumulated over decades, the people along the Tom Bigby River developed a framework for understanding them. The disaster had been so terrible that something of it must have left an imprint on the place. The boundary between past and present had somehow thinned in that location, allowing glimpses across time. What began as isolated incidents gradually transformed into a cohesive narrative. The Eliza Battle hadn't fully departed this world. How does tragedy evolve into legend on the misty waters of the Tom Bigby? The boundary between reality and legend blurred in the 1870s. While the eerie lights and distant sounds had been dismissed as tricks of fog and current for years, everything changed when a hardened riverboat captain, a man known for a strict adherence to facts and clear-eyed assessment of river conditions, reported something that defied rational explanation. On a night shrouded in mist, with temperatures dropping rapidly, he witnessed a fully engulfed steamboat drifting against the currents. The name Eliza Battle clearly visible on its side as it passed silently through the water before dissolving into the darkness. What made this first documented sighting so compelling was the specificity of detail and credibility of the witness. This wasn't a grieving relative or an impressionable youth, but a veteran of the river with decades of experience navigating its treacherous bends. The captain, in his weathered uniform with brass buttons worn smooth from years of service, maintained his account with the same matter-of-fact certainty he applied to water depths and current patterns. He described watching as the burning vessel moved without creating a wake, the flames casting an unnatural light that failed to penetrate the surrounding fog. Most disturbing were the details that differentiated this phantom from any ordinary boat fire. Despite the visible inferno consuming the vessel, he reported feeling no heat as it passed. The captain noted the absence of any smoke smell, and the unnatural quiet broken only by what sounded like distant piano music and faint cries for help. These distinctive elements would become the signature characteristics reported by future witnesses, creating a consistent pattern that defied simple explanation. Word spread through the riverboat community like a slow-burning flame in a dark room, small at first, then gradually illuminating what had been hidden. Another riverman soon reported seeing passengers on the deck, their clothing distinctly from an earlier era. A night fisherman, unaware of previous accounts, abandoned his lines and rowed frantically for shore when a steamboat wreathed in silent flame approached his small craft. The phantom materialized under specific conditions. Cold, foggy nights, typically between late February and early March, and almost exclusively near the location where the original vessel had met its fate. These consistent parameters reinforced the growing suspicion that something truly overworldly was occurring on this stretch of the Tom Bigby. Local newspapers initially treated these accounts as curious anecdotes rather than supernatural phenomena. Early articles appeared alongside reports of unusual weather patterns or animal behavior, presenting the sightings as unexplained curiosities. One editor wrote dismissively of river tales growing taller with each telling, suggesting that memory of the tragedy had simply taken a more colorful form in local imagination. But as sightings accumulated, the tone of reporting gradually shifted. By the 1880s, newspaper accounts began referring to our ghost ship and the Tom Bigby's fiery sentinel, indicating a growing acceptance of the phenomenon as something uniquely tied to the region's identity. This shift reflected the social standing of many witnesses, respected community members whose testimony carried weight beyond the riverfront taverns. The phantom's impact on river commerce became increasingly tangible. boat crews developed elaborate superstitions around the disaster site. Some captains refused to pass the area after dark, adjusting their schedules to ensure daylight passage. Others developed rituals for safe passage, tossing a coin into the water, flying flags at half-mast, or maintaining complete silence while traversing the haunted stretch. More practical minds simply kept extra watchmen on duty when conditions resembled those of the original disaster night. One riverboat cook famously quit his position after 20 years of service when ordered to make a night run past Pennington, declaring he'd rather starve ashore than sup with the Eliza's ghost. His statement reflected the integration of the phantom into professional culture of the river, where even skeptics acknowledge the psychological impact of the legend on their crews. By the 1890s, isolated incidents had transformed into a cohesive narrative with consistent elements and shared meaning. The evolution reflected a communal process of making sense of tragedy, transforming random, unexplained phenomena into something with purpose and significance. Witnesses reported a vessel performing an endless reenactment of its final journey. More significantly, a new element entered the evolving legend. Reports suggested that the phantom's appearances clustered before river disasters, floods, destructive storms, or accidents involving other vessels. This predictive aspect transformed the ghost ship from a spectral remnant of past tragedy into an active warning system, a supernatural sentinel alerting the living to impending danger. The Tombigbee River holds a secret that science struggles to explain. While meteorologists point to atmospheric conditions creating optical illusions before storms, they cannot account for how generations of hardened river workers, people who pride themselves on practicality, developed an early warning system based entirely on a ghost ship's appearances. This predictive power took on new significance in the spring of 1904. When a lone fisherman spotted the burning Eliza Battle drifting silently through the midnight fog, he thought little of it, until 3 days later, when the worst flood in decades swept through the Tombigbee Valley, washing away homes and drowning livestock. This single event crystallized what had previously been mere coincidence into something more profound. The Phantom Steamboat served simultaneously as a haunting reminder of past tragedy and a harbinger of disasters yet to come. Local records reveal an uncanny correlation between phantom sightings and subsequent calamities along the river. From seasonal floods to violent tornadoes that tore through riverside communities, the burning apparition consistently preceded nature's fury. This pattern solidified in the collective consciousness of river communities throughout the early 20th century, culminating dramatically in 1979, when multiple witnesses reported seeing the flaming vessel in the nights before Hurricane Frederick devastated the Gulf Coast near Mobile. The timing of these appearances generated a practical response. River captains and experienced fishermen gradually wove these spectral sightings into their working knowledge. A complex informal communication network emerged, with news of a phantom sighting traveling quickly through waterfront communities. When word spread of the burning vessel, the Wilkins family in Demopolis would move their heirloom quilts to the second floor, securing their fishing boats, and drive their cattle to higher ground. Three generations of Wilkins credited these phantom warnings with saving their livelihood from five major floods. The phenomenon influenced economic decisions as well. Some insurance companies operating in Alabama's river counties maintained unofficial records of phantom sightings that factored into their regional risk assessments, influencing premium calculations and coverage decisions. When credible witnesses reported seeing the Eliza Battle's ghost, companies quietly prepared for increased claim activity, a pragmatic response to what many considered mere superstition. These practical adaptations represent an unusual convergence of folklore and function, where a ghost story evolved beyond entertainment to become vital to community resilience. The meteorological explanation for these sightings seems straightforward. Atmospheric conditions preceding major weather events create ideal conditions for optical illusions on the water. Light refraction through water vapor can produce mirages that, when viewed by someone familiar with the Eliza Battle legend, might be interpreted as the Phantom Ship. Yet this scientific explanation falters when confronted with the remarkable consistency in witness descriptions across decades. From the 1870s to present day, observers with no connection to each other describe identical details. The name clearly visible on its hull, the eerie silence of the flames, phantom music, and the distinct lack of wake in the water. These shared details extend beyond what suggestion might produce, particularly from witnesses unfamiliar with the legend before their encounters. The specificity of the sightings further challenges materialist interpretations. If merely the product of atmospheric conditions, why would the mirage so consistently take form of a burning paddle steamer rather than any other shape? And why would witnesses consistently report hearing distant music and cries for help, details that transcend visual phenomena? Multi-generational oral histories from families who've worked the river for centuries reveal a nuanced relationship with the Phantom Steamboat. Unlike many ghost stories centered on malevolent entities, the Eliza Battle's spectral presence is understood as protective and benevolent. River families speak of the ghost with reverence rather than fear, viewing its appearances as final acts of service from those who perished in the original disaster. This protective interpretation demonstrates how communities transform historical tragedies into cultural resources serving practical purposes. The Eliza Battle legend converted a community's most traumatic memory into a mechanism for future safety, embedding historical awareness into daily life along the river. Through this transformation, river communities gained a sense of control over unpredictable natural forces, recasting victims as guardians and tragedy as foresight. The community's spectral warning system persisted through decades of technological advancement. But something strange occurred when smartphones entered the equation. The Phantom Steamboat that once revealed itself only to the watchful eyes of experienced river workers now appears in digital footage, leaving traces that even the most dedicated skeptics struggle to explain away. College students in 2018 weren't hunting ghosts when their phones captured glowing orbs moving upstream against the Tom Bigby's current. The footage shows distinct luminous spheres gliding silently across dark waters before dissolving into nothing, evidence that exists independently of folklore or belief. This recording joins dozens of similar digital captures from the past 20 years, each preserving moments that challenge our rational understanding of reality. These modern encounters carry a particular weight through their remarkable consistency. A Seattle tourist unfamiliar with local legends described the identical phenomenon as a fifth generation fisherman whose family has worked these waters since before the Civil War. The skeptical paranormal researcher's equipment records the same details reported by teenagers walking the riverbank at dusk. Unlike typical ghost stories that transform with each telling, these accounts maintain striking uniformity across diverse witnesses. The Alabama Department of Archives and History houses perhaps the strongest testament to these sightings' enduring nature. Their collection contains witness statements spanning from the 1870s to present day, revealing patterns so consistent that archivists developed standardized forms with checkboxes for recurring elements. The absence of sound except faint music and cries, movement against natural currents, and the clear visibility of the vessel's name. Contemporary reports mirror historical accounts with remarkable precision. Digital technology has transformed our relationship with this phenomenon. Modern encounters produce reviewable evidence through various devices. Night vision equipment, thermal cameras, and high-definition video have all documented unexplained anomalies on the river. While skeptics suggest technical glitches or environmental factors as explanations, the sheer volume of evidence complicates dismissal. When three separate groups using different equipment capture similar phenomena simultaneously, coincidence becomes increasingly inadequate as an explanation. The river's natural conditions both suggest potential scientific explanations and hinder controlled investigation. Changing water levels, shifting sediment, atmospheric variables, and natural gases create possible natural causes while making systematic study difficult. Research teams have established monitoring stations with sophisticated equipment near the presumed wreckage location. Their findings remain tantalizingly inconclusive. Unexplained temperature fluctuations, light anomalies, and sound patterns that defy natural explanations yet fall short of definitive proof. The Phantom Eliza Battle has become an economic force for river communities. Nighttime hours operating from Demopolis and surrounding towns blend historical education with the thrill of potential encounters. These experiences have transformed local folklore into a distinctive regional identity that attracts visitors nationally and internationally. Tour guides carefully present both historical information and witness accounts, positioning themselves as impartial narrators rather than believers or skeptics. Beyond physical tourism, the Eliza Battle has entered broader culture consciousness through documentaries, podcasts, and fiction. Online communities discuss the Phantom Vessel, expanding what was once local tradition into global conversation about boundaries between inexplicable and mysterious phenomena. For those working the river daily, the ghost ship represents more than entertainment. Commercial fishermen, tour operators, and barge captains maintain a practical relationship with the legend. They discuss it with the matter-of-fact tone reserved for familiar natural phenomena. When asked why they take the Phantom seriously despite modern technology, many offer similar explanations. The river communicates in multiple ways, and experienced navigators learn to interpret all available signals. The Eliza Battle's enduring presence in contemporary life reveals how communities process tragedy and maintain connections to their past. The 1858 disaster continues to influence how people understand their relationship with the river and its history. The Phantom's persistence suggests certain events leave impressions that transcend their immediate moment, continuing to shape perception and behavior long after their occurrence. As night falls over the Tombigbee, the Eliza Battle story lives on as a presence that gives meaning to collective trauma. These ghostly tales serve a deeper purpose, allowing communities to process grief and maintain connections to their past. The Phantom Steamboat has become a cornerstone of Southern folklore, weaving itself into Alabama's cultural fabric. Like fog rising from the river, this legend transforms darkness into narrative light. The Eliza Battle remains seared in Alabama's consciousness, its spectral warnings echoing across generations. What ghosts do we create from our own tragedies? Perhaps in listening for Eliza Battle's whistle, we hear echoes of ourselves. This has been Midnight Signals. I'm Russ Chamberlain, guiding you through the shadows where history meets mystery. Until next time, stay vigilant, seek the hidden, and remember, in every silence there is a signal, and in every signal, a story waiting to be told.